And I want to tell the ushers that we want to try to find seats for all the people who are trying to find seats. So I'm going to ask all of y'all who are standing up to squeeze in. Squeeze in. North County, same thing. Squeeze in. And let's get these people seated. Even over here, we got some seats over here. So just squeeze in wherever you are towards the middle. And let's get those people seated real quick. How y'all doing today? Yeah. Listen, one, we want to say hello to everybody watching online. A couple things. I know a lot of y'all are in your seventh day of your fast. It's your first week. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. If you started and stopped your fast already, God bless you. And if you're like, man, I messed up, you know what? You can keep going. You can start over, or you could just do it again some other time. Don't stress over it. Just walk with the Lord. Don't stress over it. But if you feel like, you know what, I want to start again, you can. Don't stress over it. But if you've been going for 7 days and you're tripping right now, because you're tripping, like, I haven't eaten, and I feel amazing. That's how it works. And you got 33 more days. You're going to be off the chain crazy, like, this is amazing. So this is just the beginning. You've probably been through the three-day hump where it was real hard. You got headaches for 3 days. If you're off coffee, yes, we got counselors waiting in the hallway. We do have our nutrition ministry out in the lobby. They can give you some advice on diets and all that kind of stuff. So they're out there to talk to you if you want to get some counsel on there. But I just want to encourage you to keep going, keep praying, make sure you spend time with God. Carve out extra time with the Lord so God can do in your life what he wants you to do. Amen? Amen. Listen, over the last 3 days, we had a conference here by a group called Planet Shakers. It was Planet Shakers Conference. And the last song you just sang, the anthem and the worship, that is their original song. They're the ones where that came from. Amen? So let's give them a big hand for the ministry to us. I got to tell you, we have artists here all the time. And sometimes they are the greatest people, and sometimes they're the biggest divas. Now, for real, we have people here, and we tell our staff, they're never coming back here, because they're straight-up fools, okay? I am not lying. I'm embarrassed to tell you some of the stuff we deal with. But I will tell you, these people, to a person, are the woman in the middle, she's the wife of the pastor of their church and their ministry. She did an exorcism, and these are my words, of all the diva spirits on their team. She said, we ain't having it. And those people are the sweetest people. They're from Australia, and they're called Planet Shakers. They sell millions of records. They're in the top of the charts in Australia and all around the world as well. They had a conference that started in 1997, a Planet Shakers conference, went from 300 to 30,000 kids. They started Planet Shakers Church 9 years ago, and then I have 9,000 people. Christmas time, they were in Indonesia, and I think that's where they were, but they'll correct me when they come out here in a minute. And they did a Christmas event in the biggest Muslim country, 250,000 people. 250,000 people just for Christmas. So they were here for the conference, and we said, you know what, I want you to come worship at the Rock in the morning services. They're going to be at another church tonight. And then their pastor, Russell Evans, who started all this, I said, Russell, you got to preach to my people. Yeah, I want you to come give the word from Australia. So Russell's going to come up here. He's going to give the word this morning. Let's give him a big hand. He comes on out. This is my brother from another mother. And I told him a couple of days ago, I said, listen, if you go out, we had the conference here for the last 3 days. I said, if you go out there and say, who's the man? They'll say, Jesus. And so he was out here saying it like 40 times because it got good. It was like people kept saying Jesus. So he's here for us. He's going to give us the word today, and I'll be up at the end to do the altar call with him. God bless you, man.
Wow. Let's give it up for Pastor Miles. What a great pastor. It's great to be here, and we're so honored to be in this awesome church. Oh, sorry. In this awesome church. I remember one time I was flying in a plane from Cincinnati to L.A., and I asked the air hostess, she said, excuse me, what would you like to drink? And I said, can I have a water? She said, sorry? I said, can I have a water? She said, sorry? I said, sorry. I haven't been speaking English. Can I have a water? She goes, why didn't you say so? So I hope you understand my interpretation today. If you don't, I pray that God gives you spiritual gifts that you can. We've just released this CD in the US called Limitless. It actually has the anthem on that, and you can get that after the service. And I think you can get a deal out there. Who would like one of these? You want it? Who's the best looking Australian you've ever seen? Me. Okay. We're going to turn to the Word of God today. Who likes the Word of God? You know, I actually think the church should be more excited about the Word of God than anyone at the football should be excited about a touchdown. I think church should be the biggest party on the planet. You know, some people, I see some people at football games and they're like, and in church they're like, doesn't make sense to me. The one who saved you, gave you purpose, gave you destiny, we need to be more passionate about Jesus than we are about a football game or a basketball game. I think Jesus should get the biggest cheers. I think Jesus should get the biggest praise. Is there somebody in this place that wants to give him a shout of praise? If you love Jesus, shout, yeah! Wow, we're in the right place. I'm going to speak to you on a topic called shout. Some of you go, what? Shout. The Bible, all through the Bible, you hear this word shout. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Don't worry, I'll get you there. The word shout in the Bible is mentioned so many times because God wants us to shout with our lives. It's time for the church not to be quiet, but to make a declaration to the world, Jesus is alive. It's time that you and I begin to declare the goodness of God at a whole nother level. You know, all through the Bible, the word shout is mentioned. And it means many things. One of the things it means to sound an alarm to the enemy. It's time for the church to sound an alarm to the devil that we're taking back what he has stolen from our families, from our friends, from our communities. We're taking back what he's stolen. We're taking back the schools. We're taking back the universities. We're taking back the lost people. It also means to proclaim jubilee. In other words, party. As I said before, I believe church should be the biggest party on the planet. Where else can you go with thousands of people but celebrate Jesus and not get a hangover? You see, people all through society are trying to get high. Trying to get high on a relationship, high on sport, high on drugs, high on finance, high on this, high on that. But we got the most high God. He is more higher than any high. And he's the only one who doesn't give you a hangover. He gives you an eternity. Yeah. I remember in Australia, we had the Sydney Olympics. And for all those who know Australia, you know, you have the Sydney Opera House and the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which looks like a coat hanger on water. Just to let you all know, Melbourne is the best city in Australia. Just want you to know that. Don't go to Sydney, or you go there just to look at the harbour, then come and be with the real people. And so, it was 2000, and it was the Sydney Olympics, and I was like, yes, it's going to be awesome. I was in New Zealand at the time of the Olympics. And you know when you're in another country at the time, they play all the country's sports that you're in. And New Zealand aren't really good at sport. They're good at sailing. So all you saw was sailing races the whole time. Australians, we're good at swimming. The reason is we got so many sharks, we can swim real fast. And so I thought, I'm going to get back to Australia because I wanted to see this race, the 400-meter race, because there was this girl who was about to run. We don't win running races. We're slow. We're good swimmers, but we're not good runners. And you know, that's because we don't need to run in Australia. We're just cool. Burglary is really low in Australia. That's why people aren't running. Someone's gone. And so we had this lady called Kathy Freeman. And she was about to run the 400 meters. And I had got back into the town that I was living in, the city I was living in Adelaide. And the race was about to get on. And so we landed at the airport and we hopped off the plane. And usually at an airport, what happens is you get off the plane, you get your bags, and you get out quickly. But not this day. We hopped off the plane and we went straight to the TV monitor. Now, Adelaide is an hour flight from Sydney. It's a 12-hour drive. It's a long way. And there's about 300 to 500 people around this TV monitor. There's short, there's tall, there's skinny, there's not so skinny. There's old, there's young, there's bald, there's not bald. And we're around this TV monitor, and the gun goes off. And all of a sudden, 300 to 500 people start doing this. Go, Kathy! We're screaming at the top of our lungs. My vein in my neck is going va-boom, va-boom, va-boom. And she's running. And our bags come out, but nobody cares. And she's and we go, Kathy, Kathy. This lady next to me, she's short and old, and she goes, Kathy. And she's running, and it feels like she's getting to the front because this is our moment. Australia are about to win a running race. And as she's running, it goes into slow motion almost. And so she's running. And we're going, Kathy. And the bags are going around. Whoa. And then it goes back into fast motion. And she runs and she gets in front and she wins. And 300 to 500 people who don't know each other, who are from different backgrounds, different ages, all of a sudden begin to do this. Ah, we what? And I'm kissing people I've never kissed in my life. I'm high-fiving people. We're jumping up and down, and we're excited. You go, what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is I don't know Kathy Freeman, and she doesn't know me. I was in Adelaide, and she was in Sydney. She couldn't hear me. Even if I shouted for 4 years, she wouldn't hear me. But there's a God in heaven that not only knows you and not only hears you, but when you and I get passionate for Him, we make a declaration to the world that Jesus is alive and He is the partier of parties. He is the one who, see, Jesus turns up to every funeral and they're no longer funerals. Jesus turned up to every place and He would turn the whole situation around. And that's what you and I are here to do. We're here to change an atmosphere of a city. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready, are you? You see, the reason why you're fasting isn't to get skinny. It might help. Slow down your metabolism. But the reason you're fasting is you're saying, I want to make a difference in San Diego. We want to see a city encounter the glory of God. And so we're called to shout with our lives. All through the Bible, there's scriptures on shouting. There's scriptures. In fact, you know, you're a person. You go, gee, you're really smart. You're Australians. Someone wrote that down. Pastor Russell says, I'm a person. That's amazing. wow, dude, you got amazing revelation. I am a person. The word person is a Latin phrase. It comes with two parts, person. The word son comes from the word sonic, which means sound. The word purr, the purr means what flows through. So your life and my life is the sounds that flow through it. Jesus was the personification of the Father. He was the sound of the Father on earth. You and I represent the sound of heaven on earth. So people's view of heaven is you. Why do you think the devil's try to make the church boring and irrelevant? Because it shows what God is perceived to be by the world. See, Christians should be the greatest representation of heaven. What is heaven? When Jesus was praying, he said, pray this, let your kingdom come on what? Oh, that your accent's cool. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in what? What's heaven like? What's heaven like? There's worship 24/7. There's party. There's praising. You know, people think heaven's a quiet place. Heaven's not quiet. The angels are, because around the throne, they're going, holy! Holy! They're shouting to one another, holy! Holy! Read the Bible. That's what heaven's like. Is there peace in heaven? Is there joy in heaven? Is there love in heaven? Is there provision? Is there a lack in heaven? No, there's not. So Jesus is saying, pray, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So our lives are there to represent heaven on earth. Woo, got you really thinking now. See, our lives are to shout how great God is. That doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means we shout God's good. You know, Joshua 6:16, we all know the story. They marched around Jericho and they shouted and the walls came tumbling down. You know, I've discovered if I shout at a wall, it doesn't come down. But they shouted and the walls came tumbling down. What happens when you and I shout with our lives is there's walls of intimidation, walls of pain, walls of abuse, walls of loneliness, walls of emptiness. When we begin as the church to begin to shout how good God is, our lives declare, I'm not talking about walking in your workplace and going, hey! I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you walk in there and all of a sudden your life begins to declare how awesome God is. You see, there's so many people bound, so many walls up in life, and God's looking for a people that will say, God, here I am. I want to bring the walls down. They shouted so the walls would come down. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 4, verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, when the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. They were a planet shaker. Now, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what does the sound of the great shout in the camp of Hebrews mean? Then they understood that the Ark, or the presence of the Lord, had come into the camp. You see, where the presence of the Lord is, there's life. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty. I've discovered dead people don't make noise. You ever been at a funeral? Coffin's there. You don't usually hear any noise from the coffin. So many churches sometimes can represent just death. Boring, irrelevant. You know, I hope for when I die that they party. Planet Shakers band's up, celebrate good times, he's dead. Na, 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 na. You know, funerals aren't places of celebration. You know, but you know, when you have a baby that comes into your house, I discovered when I was first married and our first child came in, I discovered that. When you have babies in your house, there's life. And where there's life, there's noise. So where God is moving, there's noise. the world was declared through a sound. You know, people think, well, I just thought that. No, your words are actually what gives life to your thoughts. And we need to be, as the church, speak things into existence. Begin to speak things over cities, over our children, over our careers. I speak blessing. I speak favor. I speak over that. I'm going to create a sound of heaven in my life. The presence of God was in the camp, and there was a sound that got the attention of the enemies because his presence was there. I use this illustration. It's a poor illustration, but it will describe this illustration, what I'm trying to say, at the conference. Australians, you understand, Australians love, L-O-V-E. We love Americans, but we really love African Americans. If you're African American and you're a male and you're looking for a wife and you're single, go to Australia. You'll be no problem. No worries. I'm telling you, because Australians, we're not really cool. We're intelligent and amazing, but we're not, you know, we're like, yeah, mate, yeah, she'll be right, mate, yeah. We got no swagger. We're just like, yeah, put another shrimp on the barbie. We're famous for the crocodile hunter. Guy wrestles crocodiles. Wears short shorts and wrestles crocodiles. Yeah, mate. We're African Americans. They're cool. Pastor Miles, he's cool. I can't even do who demand properly. So we love African Americans. So I land in Detroit, the home of Motown. Now I love Motown. And I turn up, and you know, there's some different conventions for different things, and I get invited to this African American convention off the plane. And you gotta understand, I travel not really dressed up. And so I had jeans on, I had flip flops on, and I had a t-shirt on, and had a hat on, Dallas Cowboys hat, just want you to know. And my son goes for the Chargers though. But you can have Tony Romo anytime, no problem. So I turn up. They said, you're a little underdressed. I said, oh, that's okay. So I get put on the fourth row. They said, could you come? Oh, yeah, sure. I get put in the fourth row. CeCe Winans leading worship. Well, I've died and gone to heaven. And I just, and an alabaster. Oh, just, oh, wow, amazing. I'm seated next to a little old lady. She's slide, and she's wearing a hat, gloves, dressed up, and I'm here in my t-shirt, jeans and flip-flops, hat. And the place is getting into it. Now, Pastor Miles says I do it really badly, but it's okay. I'm Australian. I can get away with it. And I'm wanting, see, my culture was saying you can't be like that because you're Australian. It's defining who I am. So these people are just, And so the preacher gets up and he starts preaching, and as he's preaching, he starts singing. Don't worry, I won't. This guy gets on the organ, wah! And this guy's got towels, you know, it's just awesome. I'm like, this is wonderful. And this old lady gets up and she starts, and everyone starts dancing. Like, I'm telling, this lady's like, oh, wow, oh. She's like, and so I'm like, I'm going to do this too, Tom. To the left, to the left, to the right. And I'm trying to be cool, but I'm not feeling too cool. Because my culture's defined me. I want to be free, but I'm worried what people think. See, some of you, sometimes, you know, ever been I remember going to some churches that people raise their hands. You know, some people do and some people don't. But I've seen some people who want to do it. And they're worried what people think. But everyone else has got their hands raised, and they're worried what people think. So they sort of like go to the movies in church, you know, when you first have a girlfriend and you want to put your arm around them. It's like, everyone's like, what will people think? It's like people when they come and give their life to Jesus, they're in a church and they'll go, what will people think if I come and give my life to Jesus? They'll go, good, that's what church is for. But I was there and I was wanting to be free, and this lady, she's dancing, and she stops and she stares. She's got to look like you're dead. You know when your mum gets that look? It's not one of those. It's when your grandma, whose tolerance is usually quite large because all they do is give you gifts. But when your grandma gets that look, you know you're in real trouble. And she stops and points. And I'm like, she's pointing. And I'm like, hi. Nice hat. She grabs my hand. And we're holding hands. Everyone else is. And we're holding hands. And I'm like, why are we holding hands? And she says, come dance with me, white boy, come dance with me. And all of a sudden, I begin to dance, and I don't care what anyone thinks, because where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. You don't have to worry what people will think about you. It's time to get free in the presence of God. It's time to, my body's created to worship God, not just my mind. So where the presence of God is, there's a shout, there's noise. Where the presence of God is, we shout to lay the foundation of the kingdom in our towns and cities. Ezra 3:11 says, and they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures towards all Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout. And when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid, they shouted to lay the foundation. When your life and my life shout how good God is, we lay a foundation for his kingdom in our workplace, in our university, in our school, in our houses. We make a statement with our lives that the kingdom is laid in this place. Psalm 33 verse 3 says, sing to him a new song and play skillfully and with a shout of joy. See, I think Christians should be the most joyful people because we have the spirit of joy from God living in us. The world lives by happy, sad. But church people, Christians should live by joy. Let me explain. People in the world, if they get a new job, they're happy. If they lose that job, they're sad. They get a new boyfriend, they're happy. They lose that boyfriend, they're sad. They get money, they're happy. They lose money, they're sad. They get a new car, they're happy. They crash it, they're sad. Situation sets up whether they're happy or sad. But Christians aren't dictated by the outward environment, because inside, Christ in me, the hope of glory, we can have joy even in tough times, because we know greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We know that I can do all things through Christ. Shouts of joy. Jesus made a shout on the cross. Oh, it wasn't with a big, loud voice, but it was a noise. It was a declaration that went through generations after generations. As he was on the cross, he declared, it is finished. And I think the devil thought he was saying that Jesus was finished. But really what he was saying was sin has been defeated by the blood of Jesus on the cross. What he was saying is, I've come and made a way so that everyone could step into the throne room of God. What he was saying is, I've made a way for you to live with intimacy with God, to know God and do great things with God, not having to go to God through someone else, but coming to God personally, because the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. It is finished. Every time you and I declare how good God is, we remind the devil of his worst nightmare. Jesus wasn't saying, it is finished, meaning I'm finished. He was saying, your power that would try to come and destroy my people, it is finished. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the evil one. You say, what do I shout with? Well, thanks for asking me. We shout with our time. What you give your time to is what you shout is important to you. You shout with your finances. What you give to says what you believe in. See, our finances represent our work time, which represents what we spend on our hobbies, our families, and our lifestyle. So when we come and give to the Lord and put Him first in our life and come and bring the tithes and offerings to the Lord, we say, God, we're going to shout that your kingdom has no end, and we're going to sow into your kingdom, and we're going to shout with our finances. We shout with our energy. If we have more energy on a sporting field than we do in the house of God, that says something. We went real quiet then. If we clap more about something else than the Word of God, that says something. If we sing more about something else, if we sing our sporting songs more than we sing our anthems of heaven, that says something. We should come with energy to the house of the Lord. We shout with our attitudes. We shout with our words of encouragement. And we shout with our forgiveness. I want to encourage you, church, be the church that makes a declaration over this city, and I know it already has, but there's so much more to do. I know you're 15,000 people, amazing, one of the greatest churches in America, but there's millions of people to win in this city. There needs to be a declaration, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Let there be a shout from the Rock Church down to LA, across to the East Coast, saying, Jesus is Lord. You know, if you're in this place right now and you don't know Jesus, He gives you a reason to shout. You know, we were all lost, the Bible says, but what Jesus did on the cross, He shed His blood for our sin. He died for us so that we could have life and life to the full. John 10:10 says that. And the reason why Christians can be so joyful, even in times of sadness, is because we have an understanding. My mum went to heaven 2 years ago. And as much as I was sad, there was a joy in me because I know I would see her again, because I knew she was right with God. And in this room right now, you can understand this joy that you can't even put into words. You can understand this feeling that I'm talking about, because if you have a relationship with the living God, your life is changed forever. All your sin has been taken away. All the things you've ever done wrong has been wiped away. And He comes and He forgives you and gives you a brand new start. There are people in this room right now and you're not right with God. And you say, I've got to get right with Him. My life is not shouting because of His goodness. I don't know Him. I never have, or I once did, and I'm away from Him. But today I want to get right with Him. On the cross, His words are declaring to you there's forgiveness for you. Out of the grave, He's declaring to you there's resurrection for you. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, in this last few moments across the campus here, you say, Russell, I'm not right with God and I need to get right with God. I'm going to ask you just over this, quickly, over this next few seconds, few moments, you say, that's me, pray for me, I need to get right with God. Would you pray for me? Would you lead me in a prayer to say yes to Jesus? If that's you, you say, that's me, pray for me. All over this room, would you lift your hand and say, that's me. Yeah, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God. You say, I got to get right with God. I'm away from God. All over this room, hands are going up everywhere. I got to get right with God. Oh, yeah, thank you, thank you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Who else? God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Who else will say, that's me? On the balconies, God bless you. Thank you. Who else will say, I got to get right with God. I'm away from God. Lift your hand up higher and I'll see it. And you can put it down. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. You say, I was once right with God, bless you, sir, but I'm away from him. I've never known him and I need to get right with him. I need to be saved. God bless you. I need my sin to be forgiven. I need a brand new start. Last time I ask, if that's you and you haven't lifted your hand, would you lift it right now? God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hands all over this room going up. So awesome. Now I'd love the opportunity. And Pastor Miles will come as well and lead you in a prayer. That's the greatest shout of one's heart. To say yes to Jesus. And every person that lifted your hand, or even if you didn't, but you say, I want to get right with God. I'm away from God. I once knew him, or I never have. Would you stand to your feet wherever you are? All across this great auditorium, would you stand to your feet? Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all. Look at this church. We're cheering you on. Who else? There's other people. Would you stand to your feet? You're not right with God. You say, I got to get right with God. Would you say, I didn't lift my hand, but I want to stand right now. I got to get right. Who else will say that's me? Would you stand to your feet? There are people all over this place that are like that. Would you stand? Yeah.
Now I'm going to ask all of y'all who are standing to do one more thing. We do this every week. We're going to ask you in a minute to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. And we all else know the drill. We want to cheer for them. So right now, if you're standing up, just come up out of your seat and come on down to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Amen. Say Jesus. Come on, we got a lot of cheering to do. God bless you. God bless you. Just face me. Just face me.